And we're back with the second hour of What's Ailing America, where today our answer is global abduction of children from families and cover-up of sexual abuse. My first guest has been Brian Garish. I have him scheduled to also be on the show on the 31st of March. And when he's on again, we're going to get into more of this. I also want to talk with Brian on the air in regards to what's happening here in the States in regards to the Penn State scandal, this Jerry Sandusky situation, how they brought in this guy Free, the previous director of the FBI. You know there's a cover-up going on there. Because now is the time to get this out because of what's happening in the States, what's happening with the Holly Gregg case. This is the time to wake up the people because this has to stop. I want to thank you so much for being on, Brian. And if you have any closing comments, as well as please give out your where people can read about your information. And I'm hoping you'll be able to join us tomorrow as well on the show I do out of the UK.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Well, I think what I'd close on is that it's very important that listeners don't just accept what we say. Please do your own research. Start to have a look at documents. Get on the internet. Talk to friends. Talk to the police in particular about what they know. Because if you learn it for yourself, then you believe it. And we know it's true, but we need you to believe it because you will then tell friends. What I'd like to just close on is to say, in the beginning, I didn't believe it was true. I now know that the country which I loved, I'm going to apologize for, because I think Britain at the moment is a cesspit. And fraud and corruption is rife, including at the highest levels of the government. But the one thing that I think we must make a stand on is where senior figures in government and in the legal system are abusing and trafficking children. And the other thing I'd just say is that we also know that children are being used in medical experiments. When they're taken into care, they're used for drug testing or psychiatric drug testing. So this is a very, very wicked thing that's happening with the children. And when I talk to people in other countries, I'm talking at the moment with people in Norway and Sweden, for example, and Ireland and France and the Netherlands, we are getting a similar pattern. And indeed, children are being trafficked between those countries. So this is not the case of a few paedophiles at local level in one country. We are dealing with very high level international networks. And that can only happen with the connivance of governments and police and enforcement agencies. We really have to do something.
Exactly. And I would like to just say it's so important what you just said. At first you didn't believe it, but now you know it. And that's why I also always tell my listeners, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself, because there's a lie in the middle of the word believe. Once you've checked it out for yourself, and especially once you've lived it, it's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of knowing. And the other thing you said, which was very uplifting, Brian, was that there's now more and more whistleblowers that are coming forth. And of course, what I've realized for many years is the only two types of people in this world are the people that have a conscience and the psychopaths. Those are the two categories of people. And of course, children that are terribly abused and traumatized, and they can be vaccine damaged in their temporal lobes. They can become violent and have criminal behavior. And they're even doing studies at the MIT where they're pulsing magnetic pulses into people to see if they can destroy the moral centers in their brain. So this is what we have to stand up to, this, the realization of the psychopaths, especially the bloodline psychopaths that are controlling the world, because it's getting very ugly. And there's more of us than there is of them. And if we just stand up and shine a light on them, it's basically going to have to change. So on that note, I will thank you, Brian. As I said, I hope you can join us tomorrow on the show at 5 p.m. your time. And I would now like to bring on Sam from One Voice for Children, who is an amazing man who has not suffered any kind of, torture from the social services people or anything of that nature, but just started learning about this himself and decided he was going to do something. And that's what we need more of, people like Sam and Brian as well, because, of course, once you've gone through this horror, this trauma, this what I call legal abuse syndrome, which is a very special case of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is caused by the system, it's very hard to remain standing. Many people become suicidal, homicidal, end up, you know, forever drugged on psychiatric drugs, very hard to function. But Sam is one of those people that's standing up. So welcome to the show, Sam. And if you'd like to say whatever you'd like to say, tell us more about this worldwide protest, how people are responding to this, and what you expect to happen on Tuesday, March 6th.
Well, thank you very much for the introduction there, Rebecca. Both you and Brian have touched on so many emotive parts of the subject that we're trying to address here. Just to give the listeners in the States a bit of a background as to what One Voice for the Kids was the main remit, really. We were launched in March 2010 to challenge the government on how paedophiles and child abusers are sentenced was the first idea. But 6 months on into the actual campaign, if you like, I came to a crossroads, and it was after I attended a rally in June last year in London at Trafalgar Square, where I first met Brian. And as Brian has said, I mean, when he first heard about all this going on, you know, it was hard to fathom that this actually goes on. So then I came, as I said, I came to a crossroads, and I decided I'm going down the political route even further to investigate myself to see where this is really heading. And to be honest, I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm reading. And again, one of the biggest cases at the moment that we're doing in this country, in the UK, is the Holly Gregg scandal, which is absolutely disgusting. But after reaching this crossroads in the campaign's short history, we started to realise that we have to start waking up the population around the world. It's not just the UK. It's not just a UK problem. So we're starting to educate the public in how the effects of child abuse and how it irrevocably changes the lives of so many lives. And it's not just the victims that it affects. It also affects the ones that are closest to them, their family and their friends. And we are the only international organization, as far as I can see, that focused on forging wider networks with other child-related charities and organizations throughout the UK and worldwide. We also liaise with relevant organizations on the issues linking to childhood abuse and its relentless significance in adulthood. But the idea basically behind One Voice is to give the children back their voices, because obviously they can't stand up for themselves. And as I said on the poster, that if you want your children to stand up for themselves, you have to show, or we have to show, that we will stand up for them first. And that's the basic essence of what we're trying to do here. The worldwide peaceful protest came about as an idea at a conference. Well, I say conference, it was a meeting between the board, and I started out saying, let's do a UK-wide one, and they said, well, okay, so let's put everything into context and how we're going to achieve this by doing it up and down the UK. But then I came out with, said, well, let's do it worldwide then, because it's not just a UK problem, it's happening globally.
Yeah.
So The idea of the worldwide peaceful protest against child abuse, it's not just about the effects of child abuse. It digs deeper, and it's a lot darker than a lot of people seem to realise. So what we would like to achieve by this is we're creating the world's largest platform for parents, campaigners, organisations to stand on and have their voices heard. And as you said earlier on, that you know, we are many and they are few, and we have to exercise and flex this muscle that we are, you know, we are the power. It's the people power, and if we don't start to, you know, show this power, then we are going to lose control of our societies. Now, I received a phone call. This is rather relevant. This is 2 days ago. I received a phone call. And basically, the phone call was that it was suggested that our society is broken. Well, I very quickly put this to bed, if you like, and I said our society is not broken. If I was to suggest that I believe this is happening all over the world, that our societies are not broken, they are designed to work the way they designed it to. So, you know, to illustrate, you know, how bad this problem is by doing such a worldwide peaceful protest. And to date, I have now 40 countries taking part, and that's including the UK. I'm so sorry, in the background is my daughter. She's just woken up. Can you just bear with me one second? I do apologize.
Yes, it's okay. Sorry. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just bear with me one second.
Okay, well, while he's comforting his little daughter, let me just say that, of course, when people say society's broken, my response to that is, okay, so basically you're saying it's too late, there's nothing we can do, let's give up. That's my opinion of people like that. They're making an excuse for them to do nothing. And, of course, this whole idea of child abuse, when people realize who the real child abusers are, they're not the parents that are being charged with child abuse. They're the system making the charges. Brian has a bit to add, certainly, Brian, but I hear the music again. This is a short break, so just stay up. We'll be right back. Please tell everybody to listen to the archives. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is global abduction of children from families and cover-up of sexual abuse. In my opinion, this is one of the most important shows I've ever done, not only because of the massive exposure of the crimes against humanity that are happening at the hands of the bloodline psychopaths who run the world, but also because you're all hearing from warriors who are standing up and saying, we're not going to allow this to continue and destroy our families and our society. And Brian wants to make a comment. Please go right ahead, Brian.
Okay, it's a very short one, but you've brought up an important thing. A lot of people are very worried at what's happening in their countries. We're worried about what's going on in Britain, and I know many Americans are very worried about what's happening in the States. But a very important thing, and Sam was talking about this, really, it's not that people have changed. People are the same, really, but we've got to wake up to the fact that we are being changed. We're being made into different people by the fact that we trust our government when the government is corrupt, by the fact that we have TV channels full of very dark, sadistic, brutal, violent programs. We have pornography on the internet. All sorts of things are being done to change the way we are, but underneath we're the same. So we mustn't get gloomy about what people are like. Most people are still good, decent, honest people. All we need to do is get them more motivated and get them strong enough to stand up for themselves.
Exactly, and get them to stop giving up and making excuses. Like Sam was saying, you know, people will make a comment, well, the world has changed, or it's too late to do anything. I've heard it all. No, if we do nothing, we're going to be even more devastated than we already have been. The time is now to stand up in a peaceful way. And that's why I so admire Sam for what he's doing, because he's making it very clear this is a peaceful protest. They may have a few provocateurs there to cause a problem. So I'm sure that you're, you know, ready for that and can deal with that. But that's what we have to do, is stand up peacefully and protest, as they did in Belgium, as I said, back in the 1990s with the White March. So please continue, Sam. I just want to underline and put in large font what you said, that 40 countries have shown an interest. This is amazing what you have accomplished, and I so admire you for doing this. This is possibly what's going to break the whole thing wide open, and I am so excited.
Okay, I'm going to say this so that, you know, I'm not letting this get to my head. I don't want glory for any of what I'm doing. Basically, you've got to appreciate the scale of the problem. And I go on various different forums, and Brian will know about the TPUC. It's a fantastic website. I believe it's run by a guy called John Harris. I'm hoping I'm correct. I've never actually met the guy before, but he's I dare say he's a bit like me, really. He has a weird way of trying to illustrate the problem, and he has a sense of humour when he talks about it, you know, when you have to conform to certain things, you know. But the aspect of what I'm trying to achieve, really, is by giving the world the platform to stand on, for the population around the world to stand on, which has never been done before. And I'm already planning the next, I've called it the Horizon Project. I'm sure that won't be the name of it, but that's what I've called it for now. And that's going to be for 6 months' time. But the fact of the worldwide peaceful protest, really, as I said, it's the platform. That's, no one's ever done anything like this before. Now, I actually gave up my full-time job, and I will say this, and I'm proud that I gave up my full-time job. And what really done it for me was the Baby Peter Connolly story. And for me, that was absolutely horrendous. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I mean, if you want to look it up on the internet, I mean, it is there. The evidence is there. The case that really done it for me was the sentence that was given to the perpetrators of this particular offence. It was 18 years between three offenders. And to me personally, 18 years doesn't even cover a life sentence. And the sentencing structure in the UK is probably the weakest in the world, in my own opinion. You know, I just want to touch on a quick subject that Brian did. That it's where to start, really. To be honest, with the sentencing in this structure, I'll come back to that in a second. It's gone for the moment. But the one thing that I'm going to campaign for also is, doesn't matter what crimes are committed in the UK, in my opinion, but the when you are sentenced in the UK, if you are in police custody for anything between 2 to 7 days, you are able to claim that time back. The same as if you are on remand, as we call it in this country, and you can claim your days back. You can claim your remand days, and it comes off your final sentence when you are finally sentenced. When you actually get your proper sentence. And I think that's wrong, because if you are a paedophile and you are in police custody and they claim these days back, then that's wrong, because what can the victim do? What can the survivor do to claim some of what they've done? You know, I mean, they can't claim any of that back, you know, and that to me is wrong. I don't understand how that can be. That's just against all principle, surely. If you're sentenced, I mean, I personally believe that, okay, the American system is a lot harsher compared to our own penal system. And yes, there are many flaws in each country's penal systems. But if you are, I had a friend, I don't know if this is true, but he went across to the States, and I don't know what state it was, but he got done for jaywalking, and he could have got done for 2 years, according to them. Now, I don't know if that's true, you know, but that's what he told me. You know, but the penal system in the UK is probably the weakest, you know, and I'm not proud to be British. You know, and as John Harris has said, that I
well,
do not want.
If
to
I could just interrupt you, Sam, I have sure. to interrupt you because I believe the last count was 2 million people in prison here in the United States, and I can assure you that none of the high level pedophiles are among that group, because what happens is that the district attorneys are the ones that decide who's going to be prosecuted in the first place, and if the members of all of these law enforcement agencies at the high levels are Freemasons, especially high-level Freemasons, which they are, they let their fellow Freemasons go free. And just to give you an idea of how bad it is, there's a very important book in my massive library called May It Please the Court, The Most Significant Oral Arguments Made Before the Supreme Court Since 1955, published by the New Press in 1993. And in this book, they talk about a number of very important Supreme Court cases, one of which was DeShaney v. Winnebago County Department of Social Services, 489 U.S. 189 from 1989. I'm not going to go into the details of the case, except to say that Chief Judge Rehnquist, in a way of giving an explanation as to why Social Services was not responsible for giving custody of this child to the man that beat him until he was brain dead, what Chief Judge Rehnquist said, and I'm quoting from page 46 of the book, is that if two policemen see a woman being raped and watch it for their own amusement, it's not a violation of the Constitution. So when you start to actually investigate these things, as it turns out, the courts, the police, all of these agencies that we spend so much money paying taxes for are actually there to protect the high-level bloodline psychopaths. There is no protection of the people. Go ahead.
Well, just you've blown me away with that, to be honest. I mean, I don't do as much investigation as what Brian and many others have done. I mean, I have, as you said earlier in my introduction, that I have no first-hand experience of being abused as a child, and I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. You know what I mean? It's not luck. Do you know what I mean? It's just, you know, I was brought up. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way it happens. But you know, for the people that I speak to on a daily basis, and I hear their stories, and I've got evidence myself from various cases that I deal with, and I just want to read a little bit from an email that I had from a lady. I won't obviously name names, but she says to me, she's that she finds that general society does not know how bad it is. It's almost warlike to have the power to enter someone's home, find them guilty on assumptions, rubber stamp a judge's name, and voila, child welfare got your child hostage, and there is not a damn thing you can do about it. Maybe it's just me, she says, but it's just madness of the purest kind. I'll never understand it as long as I live. God help me, I'll never understand it. The prevention of violence against children is the responsibility of us all, and that to me, that just one small paragraph says it all. But you've got to appreciate the undercurrents. I can appreciate the undercurrents. I mean, you've got to forget what's in your faces, which is the frustration and the impenetrable barriers. But there are undercurrents of energy flowing. The little people are the ones that stand on the bank and watch it flow past them. The big people are the ones that jump in and own it. You know, the whole thing that is going on in our own country, but as I said, it's a global problem, and creating such a protest of this magnitude has never been done before, and this is the first one, and having 40 nations, including our own, involved in this, says it all. You know, and more or less like the 11th hour, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning speaking to a lady over in New Zealand. Can we join in? It's worldwide. Of course you can join in. We're offering it to everybody. It's open to everybody. I'm offering this open to the politicians themselves, the social services. And what sort of response do you think I'm getting from them? But I just want to explain I want to go on to one thing, if I can. Brian, I don't think mentioned anything about the common purpose too much, but there's just to illustrate how this works. There was a common purpose paedophile called James Rennie. Now, currently, he's serving a life imprisonment for being one of the ringleaders of Scotland's largest paedophile networks. He has had his minimum prison sentence cut by 4.5 years by an appeal judge. Now, Rennie was convicted in 2009, I believe, of sexually assaulting a 3-month-old child and for conspiring to get access to children in order to abuse them. Now, he's from Edinburgh, which is where I'm doing the protest, so that case is very relevant, and we will be highlighting that. Now, he was ordered to serve a minimum of 13 years in jail. So let's just stop there and think about the sentence and how much the actual court case would have cost the humble taxpayer. Now, we're talking thousands and thousands of pounds in getting that court case to court. Now, I don't know how long it was after he was sentenced, was he brought back for his appeal. But then you've got to think about the other side of the coin, where he's brought back at the expense, again, of the taxpayer, to have his sentence reduced. I want to talk about how is that fair for the survivor, or maybe not in this case, if the child died, you know, but how is that fair? It seems to me the perpetrator's rights are observed and they have to be seen to be observed, while the rights of the victims and the survivors are dismissed. How can we have such a penal system that allows these people to get away with it? And yet we have another case called, I'll say his surname, Gibson. Some, I don't know, is it 50,000 images of children? And he escapes a custodial sentence. How bizarre and how sick is that for our own penal system? No wonder people like myself, I mean, as I said, I gave up my full-time job to do this, you know, and I've near enough been divorced twice for doing it, you know, because I'm trying to protect my own family, and I'm trying to protect other people's family. However, in that same the rally in June, and I will never forget what Brian said, and this is the point I was trying to raise earlier, and I forgot about it, but I've now remembered it. The people like myself who campaign or dare to go against the system can be investigated. I'm hoping I'm getting this right, Brian, so do correct me if I do go wrong, but there's an organization called MAPPA, M-A-P-P-A, MAPPA, who investigate people like us, who can set the wheels in motion, and I hope I am right, that can actually investigate me and possibly have my children removed from my house. If this is correct, this is what we need to stop. Because nobody has the right to take my children away. They are my children. I am not doing anything wrong. I am doing simply what is right. It is not a choice that I stand up for children. It is my duty. And I will do that until my last dying breath. But nobody will take my children away from me. And I do not accept the fact that anybody who can, you know, do the things that Brian, myself, John Harris, and many other campaigners in the UK and around the world, even yourself, Dr. Carly, do you know what I mean? It's how can they, you know, say that we are wrong? But I know if we expose the whole truth of what is going on, you know, if we was, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it now, but I am going to talk about it on the 6th of March in Edinburgh. We are going to talk about the New World Agenda, the New World Order. We are going to touch the surface on that. We are going to scratch it away and let people see it. We're going to illustrate what's going on, what's right underneath the surface. This is a very big iceberg. And it's absolutely huge. I'm sorry, but there's so much behind it. But going back onto the James Rennie case, how can that be legal? You know, he's getting 4.5 years taken off his sentence. But what of the survivor? Well, what of the victim of this crime?
I want to answer you, because the survivor, and this is something I realized a long time ago, and I'm sure this is true in courts all over the globe, is that the only person who is not represented by the prosecuting attorney is the victim. The victim has no say in the sentence. The victim has no say in if there's a plea deal. And the other thing I want to bring up is that, of course, it's been proven over and over again, is that pedophiles cannot be rehabilitated. So they are letting them out intentionally so that they can make sure that they continue with their actions. Because just based on what you said about this man, and it's a miracle he even got charged in the first place. You know, occasionally miracles do happen where high-level pedophiles like this do get charged because they have to prosecute some of them. But they want him to come out. They want him to contribute to distribute his pornography. And that's why they're letting him out. That is self-evident. This is not a mistake. This is how the system is designed. And the other thing I want to bring up for people to check out is Agenda 21 of the UN. Because within that mountain of documents, I forget how many thousands of pages it is, but they actually expose that one of their agendas is to break down the family. Go ahead.
I'm just going to touch on a subject that is very quick, really. That you raise a very interesting point, Dr. Carley. It's when the paedophiles are in prison, they have no access to children, so of course they're going to rehabilitate, and therefore they're going to be the model of society inside or behind, you know, closed doors and bars. Of course they're going to rehabilitate, so therefore, you know, the society, the courts, the system realizes, okay, they have now, you know, sorted themselves out, they've been working, do you know what I mean? And then as soon as they come out, it's, as you say, they, it's not a medical problem. And I've spoken to many doctors on this, do you know what I mean? You know, and
yes.
the way I've been told is the easiest way to talk about this is a fetish. That's what they told me. It's the easiest way to put it, I suppose. You know what I mean? To me, there is some logic behind that. It's a fetish. You know, and it's not a problem that can be controlled by drugs. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that if you are behind bars and you are a paedophile, of course you're going to rehabilitate because you've got no access to children. You've got no internet access. Do you know what I mean? You know, unless you work in the library, and I dare say it'd be monitored then. But if it's monitored in prison, why isn't it monitored on the outside? There's a question.
Well,
for you.
You're going to appear to be rehabilitated because, as you said, there's no access to children and hopefully no access to pornography when you're actually in the prison. But the point I was making is that it's been shown time and time again is that when they let these people out, they continue to do what they're doing. And this is a very severe, I would go way beyond fetish. This is a psychopathy. To want to rape and torture children, I mean, that's insane. It's purely insane, and there is no rehabilitation. Although, as you said, they appear, you know, they'll, like all most other prisoners, they'll pretend to, you know, oh, I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it, and blah blah blah, and then they let them out, and then they don't even monitor them in most cases.
You know, it's just like I say, the point of the protest is to provide the world with a platform which has never been done before. And as this is the first one, and even having 40 nations, including the UK, involved with that, and depending which way you resource it, you know what I mean, there's between 192 or 196 nations in the world. Now, having 40 of them is amazing. And I am proud of that, but I don't want the glory for what I'm doing. It's not a competition. I'm sick to death of turning on my Facebook page or Twitter and I'm seeing all these groups attacking each other. Brian has seen it. Andrew, I mean, I want Andrew to speak because, Andrew's going to talk about it from a personal point. But also, Andrew has opened so many doors for us, for One Voice for the Kids. He has opened so many doors where I couldn't. My key didn't fit and it wouldn't open the door. But Andrew is... Andrew's an amazing guy and, I'm looking forward to meeting him again. I've only met him once. And I find him absolutely an absolute trooper. But, you know, the point of doing this protest and having 40 countries on the first one, you know, it goes to prove that there are people prepared to stand up and, as Brian said, whistleblow. And attending Brian's conference in Stoke last year in October, I wasn't there on the Saturday where there was a bigger turnout, but on the Sunday... it had a kind of a good effect because people are arguing against each other. They're trying to fight against each other. That's the wrong thing because then the system wins because they can see that we're ganging up on each other where we shouldn't be. You know, this is where I get the sarcasm from John Harris. It goes back onto the Monty Python team. Do you know what I mean? We should be united against the common enemy. What, the Judeans People's Front? No, the governments.
Well, I have to comment on that. I've been doing this for 15 years, Sam, and I'm here to tell you that one of the main ways they try to break up a massive situation such as what you're organizing is causing division, divide and conquer. That's been used for, you know, thousands of years. And to put in provocateurs and disinformers and have people intentionally try to discredit those who are doing what they're doing. That happens all the time. I mean, I run into that constantly with the anti-vaccine movement. And let me just say, apparently we've lost Andrew from the call, although he's still in the IM. And we're running out of time so fast, but he's going to be on the show tomorrow, and we'll definitely include him tomorrow. But Brian is typing in a lot of information about the situation of the money made by these monsters that are stealing children, etc., and the psychiatrists as well. So maybe after the break, Brian can come on and let us know. I know it's massive here in the States as well. But that's something people have to know. This is a business. Destroying families is a business. Probably one of the biggest businesses on the globe. How evil is that? Okay, we'll be back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is global abduction of children from families and cover-up of sexual abuse. My two guests have been Brian Garish and Sam from One Voice for Children. Unfortunately, our other guest, Andrew Peacher, had his cell phone pop out or poop out, but he's going to be on the show tomorrow, and we'll start with him, and he can relay his experience with the system, and I relayed my experience with the system. And what we're trying to do is get those of you who have not yet been affected, and let me underline yet, to stand up before you're affected, because as I said, once it happens to you, it is a hell that you can't even possibly comprehend. We were going to just mention something. We're sending messages back and forth to each other. Sam or Brian, we're sending information about how much money is being made by these psychopaths. Whichever of you wants to give some of that information that you've discovered, please feel free.
Well, I was just going to say, I want Brian to do this more because, Brian has done a lot of research, and his knowledge overwhelms me. So, it was just to, very quickly just say that, after I left the conference in Stoke, in England, in October last year, within half an hour of leaving it, I went back to the coach station, and I was confronted by a poster: become a foster carer, make £500 per week. Mm. Now, this was, as Brian calls it, NLP, it's neuro-linguistic programming. And I saw that immediately, and I took a photograph, and I sent it as an email straight to him, and I'm hoping he got that when he got back. But just to quickly highlight, I want Brian to talk about this because he knows more about this than I do, but apparently it's £27,000 per child placed with a foster carer who receives approximately £500 per week, tax-free. Then the kids keep getting moved from foster to foster, earning more money from the agency. Now, the foster agency went to the market for £80 million last November. Within 2 weeks, bidding went to and sold for £135 million, with a yearly profit of £54.2 million, a profit a year. Now, as I said, I want to bring Brian in on, because Brian knows more about this than I do. So on you go, Brian.
Well, okay, you I think what you need to point out is that you've got a lot of information on your website, One Voice for the Kids. So you've got some really good statistics there on how much money's being spent on the foster carers. So people can visit your site. What we calculated was that the actual amount of money circulating through barristers, through lawyers, solicitors, the courts, psychiatric experts, clinical psychologists, any of the people who handled the court cases for children, the total value of that industry in Britain is a minimum of £20 billion a year. So
wow.
Children, the taking of children from families, roughly 10,000 a year being taken from their families, this is huge business. And, of course, what is going on is that the legal firms, they just love playing out the cases to make them last as long as possible, because then they can get the maximum fees. And we are very sure that aside from, well, they're not really legal fees, but fees approved by the court. Of course, the brown envelopes and backhanders are also going around the system. So it's a £20 billion industry. And the other thing is that we've just heard some figures on how much foster carers are getting. But if you look at how much firms are being paid to look after children with disabilities, then the amounts are huge. It is not uncommon for a company to be paid £150,000 a year per child if that child has very complex disabilities. And something I find particularly sinister is there is a definite desire for companies to get hold of children with some quite severe disabilities. I don't believe it's just to do with the money. I personally believe that they're experimenting with drugs on these children. But overall,
yes,
it's a huge business.
Yes, and I just want to mention, I think the one group that you did not mention was, of course, all the quote-unquote social workers who are, you know, making a living off stealing other people's children. And it's almost unheard of for a social worker to put a child in a home with foster care parents who eventually kill the child or whatever the case may be. I've never heard of a foster care parent losing their children for endangering other children. And I just want to also say that tomorrow Christine England is going to join us because this is another thing that she's been investigating, and this involves Andrew's case as well, is how any parent that claims that their child is vaccine damaged, and this is especially happening in the UK, they will diagnose them with oftentimes this Munchausen syndrome by proxy and use that as an excuse to take the vaccine-damaged child away from the family and put them into the system. And I totally agree with Brian, because that's where the experiments continue. Because there's no question in my mind that vaccinations are being used to cause all kinds of disease so Big Pharma can make money off drugs. But, of course, also in order to neurologically damage the young people. Because as they're getting ready to take off their masks and say, guess what, people of the world, the joke's on you. You are now a slave. They don't want to have young people capable of standing up.
Yeah, that's absolutely
okay,
true.
Yes.
So I think it's fair to say that we do know of some cases where children have been taken from social workers, but the social workers who seem to lose their children are social workers who are trying to do a proper job. And if they try and challenge their bosses or challenge the system for not doing the right thing, then they lose their children. One of the best examples of this is a lady called Leanne Smith, who ended up running to Spain with her two children. She had been working in the social care field, and she knew that they were abusing children. And she said, and this was a mistake, it was a terrible mistake, she said that when she got promoted into her new job, she was going to deal with them. And what she meant was deal with the people carrying out the abuse through the social system. She was hounded and chased across Spain together with her partner, who was falsely branded a paedophile himself. And eventually, when they took her partner, she became so distraught that she killed her own children rather than allow them to fall into the hands of social services. And I can say that Leanne Smith has still not gone to trial. She's in a psychiatric unit in Spain. Michael Robinson from the UK column has visited her in originally the prison unit, and both Mike and myself visited her partner when he was in Manchester prison. But I'm very sorry to say to listeners that that man was hounded to his death, and he was either murdered in prison or committed suicide in prison in the last month. So social workers do lose their children, particularly if they're good ones.
And talk about a completely hopeless situation, and that just goes to tell you that this mother knows what will happen to her children when the state steals them, is that she feels it would be better for them to be dead than to be in the hands of these monsters. And that is just mind-boggling. But it happens a lot. It happens here in the States as well. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. I want to give Sam an opportunity to close up and talk more about the protest, tell people how they can get involved. And as I said, we'll be continuing this discussion tomorrow on Changing Times with a Z Radio. .com.ning.uk tomorrow. Okay, take it away, Sam.
It's the easiest way to do this is if you log on to www.onevoiceforthekids.org.uk. There, you can contact me through that. What we are encouraging people to do is go outside the most political offices you can get to, the closest to you, and protest peacefully and tell your respective governments that you're not going to accept it no longer. And I just want to say, I just found out that Robert Paul, who runs an orphanage in Uganda, is also doing a protest in an undeveloped country. And the pressure he feels over there to stand up against his own particular government. He informs me that people who do protest in their country do get beaten with sticks, they do get tear gassed, and some have even lost their lives because they are standing up for what is right. And if I hear of any stories like that, I will be investigating it, and I will be bringing these people to account for their actions. Robert is an amazing guy, and he runs an orphanage in Uganda, and he has, I think it's 135 young orphans in the orphanage. But the best way, I mean, look, it's not a choice to protect the children. It's your duty. Get behind the protest. Do it for the kids. It's right. You know it is. Just log on to our website, get behind the protest, and help us to get the message out to people. This is not a one-off. This is the first in a long line of protests that we're going to be doing until we get the right amount of justice. I would like to
let me just say, because we're out of time.
At Orion News Talk, we know times are bad. Ever since 9/11, a battle has been waging against we the people. Our Constitution is under attack. A clandestine war.